Okay, so my title from 2 Corinthians 3 is, Have You Got Your Mask On? When I was a student, I had some great jobs, very interesting jobs. One of them, I was a fitter's mate, and I learned that there were two types of welding. One was the oxyacetylene, where the temperature would reach about 2,000 degrees Celsius. And the other one was the arc welding, where the temperature would be up to about 10,000 degrees. And you needed special goggles or a special visor to look at the arc welding, which was used to fascinate me. Because otherwise if you looked at it, the heat was so intense that the light would be too bright for your eyes. And either you'd have permanent damage to your retina, or if you were fortunate, you just for a few days, wherever you closed your eyes, you'd still see the spot of light for days. And here in this story, we've got this, you've got Paul, Apostle Paul now, referring back to Mount Sinai and Moses. The glory of the Lord would be so astonishing, so powerful, that Moses' face would shine. And then he'd wear this mask, this veil, as he came down the mountain to meet with the elders and the people, I suppose for two reasons. Number one, so that they wouldn't be blinded by the glory of the Lord. And the second thing, that the glory would slowly fade. The glow on Moses' face would slowly fade and they wouldn't see it fading. But Paul uses it as an illustration that the old covenant, the old law, try your best, which is up to date for just about every religion in the world except Christianity, the old try your best, keep the law, failed for one reason. It could not take away our sins. It could not, just like the kid's story about John the Baptist baptizing in the water, a symbol of washing our sins away. The problem with the old covenant was it couldn't do that. It could not wash our sins away. Only in Christ, Paul says in that passage, can the veil, the mask, be taken away. Now, again, recently, lots of anger about lockdown measures, and lots of politicians on both sides not happy, and many, Boris Johnson's dad, not happy about the fact you're supposed to wear a mask and so on. And one of the problems, of course, is when you go into a shop with a mask, nobody can see your facial expressions. It's very difficult, isn't it? All you can see is the eyes. But here, this spiritual mask refers to the fact that by nature, there's a veil, there's a mask between us, and we cannot, the very next chapter, the fact of 2 Corinthians says, we cannot see the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We cannot do it. So what was wrong with the Ten Commandments? Well, nothing wrong with them. They were good, but we couldn't keep them. Nobody can keep them. They couldn't keep them then. You can't keep them. Neither can I. And every religion, including atheism, even Professor Dawkins has his own list of things he thinks are good and things he thinks are bad. But the Lord warns us time and time again, by our own standards, he'll judge us. We've all got our own commandments, if you like, our own standards, and he'll judge us by our conduct, by our own standards. Lily Allen's song some years ago, I'm not a saint, she sang, but I'm not a sinner. Well, what are you, Lily? What are you then? Most, I guess, would agree with Lily Allen. I'm not perfect, people say. I mean, I remember once talking to a huge sixth form and staff, and one of the sixth formers shouted out, religion is so boring, mate, and everybody cheered. But what surprised them then was that I agreed entirely that religion was absolutely mind-numbingly boring because it was pointless, because it couldn't achieve anything. It couldn't take away our sins. We can't keep the law for 5 minutes. The mask hides that truth from us, though. That's another thing. The mask hides me from myself. I don't know myself. I remember going to a Christians in Sport event many years ago now, and I sat next to a journalist there who said he was a Christian. And I started asking him questions, you know. So when did you become a Christian? How long have you been a Christian? And of course, he was puzzled and angry. I've always been a Christian. And I just said, oh, talk me through that then. And of course, he couldn't talk me through anything. He had no idea what I was talking about. He thought somehow that feeling sentimental in church or whatever was becoming a Christian, but it's not the same. There was a lady I knew, she was very committed to her church. She'd go around the doors canvassing for money. Oh, we need a new stained glass window. Can you help us? But I remember when I asked her, well, if you knock on my door, what's in it for me? Well, there's nothing for you, love. You know, just, you can help us with a new stained glass window. Well, what if I don't care about your stained glass window? As I don't, as it happens. See, the letter of the law kills. It kills us. In 1730 odd, in Wales, there was a preacher, a lovely man in Llangeitho, in Cardiganshire. And he would preach the Ten Commandments every week. And there were people feeling guilty, sometimes writhing on the floor, sometimes just weeping. And a fellow preacher said to him one day, the name of the preacher was Daniel Rowland, said to him, you carry on like this, you're going to kill half the people because they're seeing their guilt. He said, you carry on like this, you're going to kill half of them. Give them the balm of Gilead. In other words, give them the cure. Give them the remedy. Give them the medicine. And of course, Daniel Rowland had to say, I don't know what the medicine is. I don't know what the medicine is. Well, wonderfully, sometime later, Daniel Rowland saw that the remedy was the gospel of Jesus Christ, Jesus dying in our place. See, only in Christ, not in church, only in Christ is the veil taken away. See, we meet people, you meet people, don't you, who think they're pretty good. There's a veil. There's a mask. I've never done anybody any harm. They say it with a straight face and they mean it. They can't see themselves. I'm good enough for heaven. Ask anyone. Somebody said that once to me. Ask anyone. I did ask the very next person who said, no, he's not good. But you see, we don't know ourselves. We wear this veil. How dare you tell me my husband's not good enough for heaven? Somebody said to me. I said, but you criticize him all the time. See, we can't see. There was a Manhattan Project in the 1940s as the Allies were desperately trying to build a bomb that would eventually end the war with Japan. And there was a young, brilliant PhD man there, Richard Feynman. He was working on it, and they developed it. They dropped it on Hiroshima. It was, inverted commas, a success. 84,000 people killed in a second. And they all celebrated, but it wasn't long before Feynman was desperately depressed. What on earth are we doing? What are we doing? Celebrating this? Life is pointless. Everything is meaningless. You see, he'd seen something, but he hadn't seen enough. We've all fallen short, not just of our own standard, but of the glory of God. The Bible puts it more bluntly, isn't it? We've all fallen short, not just of our own conduct, our own levels, but the glory of God. Have you still got your mask on? Can you see yourself? When you hear the law read out, does it have any effect on you? Do you see, or when you hear the cross, Jesus Christ willing to die for you? You know, I've heard people say, I don't need anyone to die for me. Don't you? Is that still you? Is that you? This week, Eddie Van Halen, the rock guitarist, passed away. His friends and family said, we'll see you in the next life. Well, how do you know there's a next life? If there is a next life, how do you know you'll be there? How do you know if there is a next life that he'll be there? How do you know you'll see him? You know, have you ever tried to share the gospel with somebody and realize that they got a veil on? They can't. They don't understand what you're talking about. They can't see it. They talk nonsense. I certainly did. I look back with horror at the drivel I used to speak and my attempts to push people away who were thinking about sharing the gospel with me. I remember a guy honestly saying to me when he'd heard me preach, to be honest, Al, that was a bit boring. I said, well, of course it was. You can't see. The veil is there. You can't see what I'm talking about. I remember years ago, a great story of Baz the Butcher. And he was a... In those days, they'd have the meat you put on the scales. He could see the weight of it, and you could see it the other side as well. But he was a bit of a cheat, was Baz. And sometimes, and there was this one story of this woman who went in and she said, oh, could I have a pound of rump steak, or 16 ounces of rump steak? Well, Baz knew he had one piece of steak. He knew it wasn't going to be quite enough. He got it out, he put it on the scale, and he left his little finger on the scale as well, so it was only 10 ounces of weight, but he went up to 12 ounces, and he said, how's that? Oh, she said, no, that's too small. Have you got anything else? Oh, I'll have a look, he said, in the fridge. So he took this steak back, went into the fridge and brought the same bit of steak out, and now pushed his finger down a bit more till he went up to 15 ounces. He said, how's that? Lovely, she said. I tell you what, Baz, can I have them both? Now he's in trouble, isn't he? He's shown up for what he is. And there are times we have to show people up. There are times. I read yesterday of one of these talks on the YouTube of a rabbi saying, well, what we need to do now in the modern age is reinvent religion to suit the needs of modern people. But we need to show people up who talk like that, because what's the point in reinventing religion that doesn't do anything? Only in Christ is the veil taken away. Only in Christ. Thomas Paine was a philosopher, a political activist, an author. He was generally acknowledged to be one of, if not the main founding father of the United States of America. He wrote scathingly about Christianity. He was a humanist. But on his deathbed, he said this: there is no God. But if there is, what will become of me? If ever the devil has had an agent, I am that one. What an awful way to be thinking on your deathbed as he's about to face judgment. Somebody said this: we're encouraged to keep our masks on by a corrupt conscience, a busy devil, and an attractive world. See, life is a war zone. There was a lady came to church for a good while. She was interested. She had lots of Bible studies, but her husband was vehemently against Christ. In fact, he almost drove over my foot in the car park in his temper. But one day, she said this, something like this: if my husband's going to hell, then I want to be there with him. Now, not only is that statement tragic, but it's ridiculous, isn't it? I mean, if you believe that there's a hell and that hell is hell, surely how can you think that there'll be cozy company with your husband in that place that's called hell? Do you see the lunacy sometimes when people keep their mask on? The next chapter, 2 Corinthians 4, tells us the God of this age, the devil, Satan, has blinded the minds of the believers so they cannot see the glory of Jesus Christ. They cannot see. Psalm 21. He asked you for life and you gave it to him. Have you done that? You ask him for life. Confess your sins, as we heard John the Baptist preach in repentance. He, Jesus, can take the veil away. Do you see your need? Are you sitting there bored now? If that's the case, the veil is still there. You need Jesus to take it away. He won't force himself on you. It's entirely up to you. Amen.